This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, this is Kati Raan from the Netherlands. I'm here with Brutally Delicious Podcast, and check it out.
Thank you for joining me. I've got to tell you, I reached out to Katie after I first heard the single, and I love this stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear that. I think it's been recently picked up, this kind of genre in music, a little bit more, like having a little bit of a wider reach than ever before. And it's so nice to hear the feedback of all of this material.
Yeah. Couple of years ago, I came across Sylvain, which I think, I mean, while it's not exactly the same, it's sort of the same sort of vein. She's got that real ethereal voice, folky thing going on, and, you know, a little bit of metal, and it's just so great. And I think the dichotomy and the dimensions to it make it amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I by the way, I love Sylvain's work. So it's really nice you mention her sort of in one breath to what I'm doing. Of course, she's from Norway, and I work with material from the north. I bring it a little bit broader to like all of Scandinavia, old Icelandic historical sources and mythology from all over the north, you could say. And so also this album, it's been recorded in Iceland, in Norway, in Finland. You know, we've really been traveling to capture the sound and the landscape, and also some guest musicians from there or specific instruments. So it's really, really nice.
We'll get to that in a minute, because I've got a million questions to commit to this short little interview. But why do you think, I mean, obviously you're not metal, and this is a metal show and it appeals to me, but why do you think there's such a connection to the metal world with what you're doing? I can't explain it. I'm hoping you have an answer.
It's difficult to explain that connection, but on the other hand, I think also from an earlier time, things went a little bit hand in hand there. Of course, we see, for example, the origin of Norwegian black metal. You know, it's such a dark landscape for many, many winter months. And I think there's also been sort of this urge to really express yourself without limitation. And there's also a connection to the occult arts, of course, that we see very prevalent in metal music and design around that, and the scenery and topics that are portrayed on stages. And so I think if you would sort of condense my music to the Nordic dark folk, also mystical realm, I think there is actually some direct overlap there. And even though it's a little bit more quieter, I would say it's kind of metal in its approach, where we don't want to leave out certain aspects of, for example, nature that are really raw and powerful. And so even though these instruments are like centuries old, they are still able to really push and drive sort of the limits of your speaker, if you will.
Okay, so let's dive in even deeper. So I know this is super emotional music and super ethereal or whatever, but do you ever feel too vulnerable, like you put too much of yourself into these songs? Because I imagine there's a lot of you in there, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't really feel too vulnerable. I think it's actually something I rather embrace, because I don't think we should just like sort of act out a certain emotion in our voice or in our songs, but really embody it to actually touch base with it, to really become the song we are singing. And so, yeah, there's a vulnerability aspect to that. But on the other hand, I think it's also the most purest form of doing art, is to really immerse yourself in it. And also when I look at these records, there are actually some takes where, whether it's anger or another emotion, sadness, you know, sometimes the voice actually breaks from like a sad emotion sort of that comes into your throat, you know, like, and so you have that little dryness to the voice. But I think that's the beautiful moment. And of course, you can choose to do another take and take, you know, the best one pitch perfect. But I think music, it is one of our most powerful ways to convey emotion and to sort of be able to say, let's keep that in there. Let's be raw and real and really embody that. I think it's more powerful to the listener as well. It's more relatable as well. And also, if I look at, for example, a more heavy, you know, like more angry kind of punk sort of sounds that we have going on in one of the tracks, where I really sort of unleash this feminine rage. There, of course, also you can say, well, vocal wise, this is not like the purest form of singing, like, but it's actually that raw grunting, that daring to be less beautiful and sweet and pretty perfect, but to be really raw and unfiltered, you could say. I think that's really, really pure. And I really also like the connection. So in my audio, I also really like to play with doing like a lower, more earthy grunting, or like that rawness and rasp in the voice, and then to flavor it and combine it with these more softer, mystical and higher pitched layers. So yeah,
you hit it right on the head. It's very organic, I guess is a good word. And I think in a time when like everything is so polished and produced, like in the pop world and the country world, it's nice like that. And I think the early pioneers in, you know, Norwegian black metal were onto that as well, right? Yeah. Decidedly lo-fi and steering clear of all this final polishing just to make it, I think, more organic and real and connectable.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also, of course, there's the layer to it where if you perform something like that in the studio, if you would do take after take after take, it sort of loses the power of the moment. Yes. Because then you're more focused on technique. And I think first and foremost, and this is also something metal scene has in common with this genre, with dark folk or like Nordic folk, is that I think we really put that truth, emotional thing on the forefront. And so that you cannot do take after take. You have to be really in the moment, and you can't reenact that, you know, all the time. You just have to, yeah, accept in a way how it sounds and work with that in the most crafty way. Of course, we do have studio solutions for something if it's really off limits, you know.
I'm
not
going
to say the album is not like all in one take, not at all. I mean, but it's really important, I think, also for me as an audio producer to find the balance there to say, okay, we have all the tools to our availability to make something.
But you don't have to use them all.
But you don't have to use them all. And I think really finding that balance is very important. Also with these instruments, they are sort of living instruments. They have sound of their own. You know, if the temperature changes in the room, the strings will sound a little bit different, more colder or warmer, you know, like. But it's a matter of working with the material that you have recorded in a nice way and keeping the balance and the oversight, the meaning of the song in the forefront of you. Yeah.
Perfect. So we alluded to black metal. We've talked about how in the heck did you get the one of the most famous black metal dudes, Gal, on your record? How did that even come about?
Well, how it came about was me working with these old medieval and Viking Age instruments. 10, 15 years ago, there were very few players of that in Europe. Like, we were a handful of people. And so it was actually Vartruna. It's a group from Norway. They also
They've actually been on the show, yeah.
Yeah, they are like also kind of like genre pioneers here. You know, they also worked with these very old instruments, and there already was a connection established. And so very naturally, I guested with them on a few shows with my instrumentation and doing some backing vocals, because there was that click, there was that recognition, like, okay, you also work with this old material, like, welcome, join the nerd club, you know. And there I met Gal. And we clicked right away. Like, working with him feels so natural, so like we can understand each other in a recording room without needing a lot of words, and I give him also a lot of room to really be bring himself and his sort of characters
Right.
on the album. And he knows, on the other hand, he can trust me with the audio engineering part, and he knows it will be a very nice song, you know, and so he feels very comfortable working with me and also understands the energies that I'm trying to work with on this album, these thematics, you know, very deeply. So it's a natural combination. I really hear a lot like that our voices sort of work very well together.
Yeah, that was my next thing. I mean, I listened to Stone Pillars and I'm like, holy cow, it works. You know, for me as an outsider, I don't live in, I've never even been to Scandinavia. He's got that, from what I see, just that, you know, like that scream or that black metal sort of thing going on. And to hear him harmonizing with you in the background or even side by side, maybe not even in the background, is amazing or nothing short of amazing.
He's one of the best vocalists I know and has actually such a wide range. And of course, on the song that is already out, Stone Pillars, I also have two other male vocalists that are forming this sort of man choir that backs up these sort of witch's brew that we have on the foreground
Which is
with
a
the lady
great
there.
dichotomy as well, right? Because it's usually a male or, you know, a male-dominated thing, and then the female choir. So I think that's a really cool thing as well.
Exactly. We sort of reverse engineered that. And so now I have a male backing vocalist. And the other two are Mitch Harris from Napalm Death and Jani Peu, who is an amazing falsetto vocalist and also my producer together with me on this album. And so it was so natural to have those male voices also blend together and harmonize with me. And
And not necessarily people you would think would be harmonizing anything, right? I mean, Napalm Death is heavy as hell.
But Mitch Harris has also same like Jani Peo, same like Gal, they actually have really broad interest in music, also over different genres, and a broad capability to capture different aspects of themselves with the voice.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And so it's been so fun. Like really, we were joking a lot, like this man choir, they sort of need a name of their own, you know, like these are the most unlikely characters to stand together and back me up on this song. But it's really beautiful. And also like they really feel and understand the material I'm singing about on this song. So it's really, really nice.
Is there something you want your fans or your listeners to take away from after listening to, I don't know, this record or any of your music?
Well, the album Saula, it's been like a personal journey for me to craft this over the last years. And of course, every album track on this record specifically is tied into a theme. The Nine Daughters of Ran, which is like different ocean waves of the sea that we see in Nordic mythology, mentioned by name, by feminine name. And so I tied that together with different emotional states. And I think if we look at the emotional inner world of ourselves, you know, the storms that can brew there, or like the more beautiful reflectionary moments, I think this is something that I hope people will be able to relate to be able to release your emotions through art and to immerse yourself in it, to sink sort of in the deep waters of that emotional body and ultimately come out on top, like to make it across, to reach new horizons on your sort of sea travel, you know, and navigate that journey within yourself as well, and allow and accept those emotions to be expressed and sort of catalyzed by releasing them into peace, into resolution, into new shores. Something like that. I hope people will at least be able to
Very
read.
cathartic, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah,
What is
I
the
think that,
food?
yeah,
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
sorry.
No, please.
Oh, well, I thought this also really kind of like ties in with the album title. It's called Saula, and this is an Old Norse word for sea and soul. So it is like about the body of the sea and everything around that that I could find in historic texts and mythology, but also the soul, like the act of soul retrieval or like working through emotions and processing those. Yeah.
Man, I could talk forever. We're going to be running up on time here because we started late, but I got a question for you. What does this look like live? And are you taking this on the road? And if so, are you taking the man choir with you?
Well, actually, we've started very, very early on talks about bringing this live. I have talked to several musicians that perform on this album and singers. It's something that at the moment I'm still playing with in my mind, even though I have really beautiful offers to bring this to the world, actually, with colleagues of mine that I've worked with before, with people that are working with very professional booking agencies. But again, just like the album, if I would do it, because I'm first and foremost more a studio producer than a touring artist. But if I would do it, I think it would have to have a little bit more embodiment than just a concert of sorts, because the material is so dense and so emotional. I think I would more bring it into the realm of ritual performance with sounds, and with these instruments on board. But well, the vision is still not completely crystal yet. And if there's one thing about my career in music is that if I do it, I really want to bring something special. So at the moment it's a little on hold. We're focusing on the album release first, but the ideas are they are boiling around a little. So yeah, that's where we are at when it comes to live. Yeah.
Awesome. I
Yeah.
can't tell you. I was out of all my interviews today, this was the one I was looking forward to the most because I really, really love it. And I listen to it a lot and go, wow, this is emotional, I guess is the best word. It
That's
strikes a
so
note
beautiful.
somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Like to hear that it resonates with people. And yeah, they feel like this is also the feedback I get from listeners that I've had actually for such a long time. Like I'm very happy with these people. I'm still reading all these messages that they write me
Right.
personally, because to hear that something meant a lot for them, or that a song has been played on a funeral, or like that they could release a part of themselves that they were grieving with or having trouble with. That for me, that's the power of music, and also how it works through in our community. That's the whole
Yes.
reason I would say we do this. It's not for any other than that, I think.
Right. No, that's fair enough. And I think you succeeded tremendously. It's a beautiful record.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
If fans want to get a hold of you, can you give us all your socials and that sort of thing where they can find you?
Yeah, I'm on the web as Kati Ran. So whether this is Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, my own newly made website, it's all Kati Ran. If you go to katiran.com or Kati Ran on Instagram, you will find me. And there, of course, we have all the links to pre-sales, pre-saves of this album, beautiful products with my label, Svart Records from Finland. So I'm very easily to find, I would say. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry we had to rush through that. I could talk to you forever because I really had a ton of questions. Maybe we could do a follow-up at some point. I do have a
I'm
quick
very
question
open
for you.
to it. Yeah.
Hate to run, but I've got another one lined up.
No worries. And good luck with this one. Thanks for
Thank
having
you for the
me.
music. Be well.
Bye. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.